Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It is For Love of Food on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM, and Rochester FoodNet. I'm a part of that collaborative. Just launched I have a new look to the website. Chris Clemens has been working on this, and did an awesome job. And it's the subtitle, a multimedia collaborative effort to discover our local food. And been a number of posts recently by the collaborators about cooking at home, using things from the pantry, trying to extend the food and again use what you have at home instead of going out to shop. It's a way we, as I said the last hour, we need to stay home and perhaps, you know, use Instacart, some of those things that curbside service whenever possible. But stay home. And so Karen Cross Smith has a post about homebound meal strategies, and Adam Wilcox also. His post called A New Reality, What Does It Mean to Be a Food Blogger in the Time of COVID-19? And a bunch of others. Some are interviews, audio interviews. Chris Lindstrom from Food About Town also posts here. And Kurt Brownell, fabulous local photographer, is also involved as one of the collaborators, along with Amanda Antonori and Vince Press. So you can check it out at rochesterfoodnet.com and also on Instagram. Chris Clemens has taken over running the Instagram for now. I was doing that for a couple of weeks. So you can follow what he's posting there. And we're also going to be doing a couple other things there. I don't think it's been posted yet, but there is another review of breakfast sandwiches that's about to come out. Already the group has done the Village Bakery and Food at Fisher's Station, so the next one is due out in the next day or so at rochesterfoodnet.com. And that should be fun to see what other people wrote about it. I sent mine in, and Chris Clemens kind of puts those together, and then the posts often five or six different reviews of one place and their breakfast sandwiches. So, and that's going to be out here within a day or two, I think. So, Rochester Food Net. .com, follow what's happening, and you know, this kind of today, like last Saturday, I remain, as I said the last hour, conflicted about takeout, carryout, curbside service. Many of our sponsors are offering it. Some sponsors have stopped offering it, which I think probably a good thing, just for the time being, for the next week, or two, to see where we stand and to do as much as possible to keep the stress levels and the patient loads down for our hospitals and medical staffs. And The problem for me with takeout is that it kind of normalizes, you know, going out and doing errands and picking up the takeout and doing that. I think there's probably quite a few people doing takeout every day, maybe several times a day. And every time that you go and do that, you're putting you and your family at risk, from being exposed on a surface or from a person. And it is, you know, we're still learning about this virus, but it is trickier and very good at hiding, you know, on surfaces for several days, plastic and metal. So, you know, if you're going out and you're wearing a mask and you're wearing gloves and you're doing takeout a few times a day, that doesn't seem like a great idea to me. The next week or two are times to, you know, use up what you have at home. The advantage of going grocery shopping over restaurant takeout is that you can get multiple meals at once. And maybe you're doing that with takeout. Maybe you're getting, as I did about 10 days ago, you know, I would get 8 meals. And each of those would feed 2 or 3 people. So I got like 24 meals in one visit to a restaurant for takeout. I did that several times. So that gave me somewhat of a stockpile of meals that are in the freezer. But I think most people are probably getting takeout, again, just for that night. And the more you go out, the more you pump gas at the gas station, the more you decide, well, I'm out and this other place is open, so I'll go stop there too. That's what's going to, in the long run, I'm afraid, lead to a lot more exposure to the coronavirus. Right now, staying home is really important. And if you're wondering about doing errands and doing takeout and the curbside service in general, read about Italy, read about the concerns in New York City, about Spain, about other parts of the world and what's happening, parts of the world that are ahead of us, not by much, by, 8-10 days or so. These are countries which have done basically what we've done. And it hasn't worked particularly well, unfortunately. And I'm afraid that's the future that we're looking at. And that could be devastating for our healthcare systems. And, the more that you're out driving around, the bigger a chance that you'll get in a car accident. And that's unlikely, but we don't need more patients in hospitals, and you really don't want to be in a hospital right now where there are people who do have the coronavirus. Again, with all the protections and the cleaning that hospitals are doing and businesses in general, it is very hard to eliminate this virus. So stay home. Do some exercising at home. Do some work in the garden. Do some reading. Do some projects around the house that you haven't gotten to. But stay home for another week. Use up more of what you have, in that pantry. And check out RochesterFoodNet.com for some suggestions and ideas. There's some other cool projects coming along that we've been discussing. So follow it on Facebook or on Instagram and at RochesterFoodNet.com. If you have comments, questions, wondering about food, wondering about takeout, etc., or if you want to take issue with my suggestions, you can reach us here at 585-346-3000, 585-346-3000. You can also email me anytime, michael@saverlife.com. And I have to say, I'm no less concerned this week than I was last week. I think, if anything, maybe more concerned because I see how much people are going out and how many interactions they're having, and we still don't know where we stand in terms of the numbers, but it's going to get worse this week. And there'll probably be people who will say that the social distancing isn't working. I think the main problem is that the social distancing isn't happening for a lot of people, and they're not prioritizing it. And we're going to pay the price, especially healthcare professionals, in a couple of weeks as the incubation period of this coronavirus starts to take effect, and people who are just contracting it, or maybe just have in the last couple of days. So be extra careful this week. Stay home if at all possible. If you need something and have to go out, limit that to one stop if possible. And we are we're at a crucial juncture right now in this coronavirus. It's something that people have never been exposed to before, so no one is immune to it. And especially the elderly are, and by elderly, I don't mean really that old. I mean, it's not just people who are 90 or above or 80 or above, but really 60s, 70s. Have to be concerned, and people of any age can get this. People of any age have died from this, and it's not very predictable for many of the cases. So again, get more information, do some more reading, and stay home. The restaurants like Rohrbach and Max. Also, Tony D's, Avino, Rocco, these restaurants have closed. They're not doing takeout. At least in the case of Rohrbach, they had too much takeout. It was overwhelming their systems. They're not used to doing takeout, but they set it up as best they could. But they only have 3 phone lines, and those were being overwhelmed. Customers were getting frustrated. They couldn't get a hold of them, couldn't order their takeout. And so that was one of the reasons that Rohrbach decided to stop doing takeout for the time being, for the next, maybe the next 2 weeks. They also were struggling because of the volume of takeout. They had about a dozen staff members in the kitchen and in front of the house just trying to handle the volume of takeout, and they didn't feel they could keep the needed distances between people and keep their staff safe. And so they decided it was better not to offer the takeout again for the next couple of weeks. There's some fun stories out there. Donuts Delight made the national press for their Dr. Anthony Fauci donuts with his image printed on the donut. Hundreds of people probably went to Donuts Delight. And while I love a good story, that's, we need to stay home. We should not be going out like this, making additional stops. So it's kind of frustrating to see that in a sense. And I'm not sure Dr. Fauci would be a big fan of this idea. I mean, I don't think he really cares whether his image is on a donut. It's not the healthiest product in the world, but I like donuts too. And but it's encouraging people to go out and get them. We really need people to stay home. So some of our sponsors have shut down for 2 weeks. Not all of them have, and so I'm going against what some of our sponsors are doing, and it's frustrating to see, and it's I'm afraid it's going to hurt us in the long run. The more businesses are open right now that are not necessarily essential. So, just think twice before ordering takeout. Think twice before going to the grocery store. Do you need to go? Can you wait? And if you do go, get food and meals, things you need for the next week or 10 days, if possible, so that you don't have to go back, so that you can limit your exposure. So if you're going to go once and get a substantial amount of food that will mean you don't have to keep going back out again. That's crucial right now. I mentioned in the last hour there's some things you can plant to give you some homegrown food in the next, most of it's going to be ready in the next 2 months. Generally 60 days for spinach and lettuce and some of these things. The peas are going to be somewhere in the 50 to 60 days. So get those seeds in the ground now and perhaps order some seeds. Fruition Seeds has a great selection. They're based in Naples. You can order them mail order. But there also are some things you can eat that are growing outside right now. Dandelion greens are at their tastiest, and I say that with some hesitation, because they're not that tasty, maybe somewhat of an acquired taste. They're a bit bitter and maybe best mixed with other greens if they're sauteed. You probably don't eat them raw, but sauteed with some spinach, maybe that would be a good combination. But there are tons of nutrients in the dandelion greens. And once the dandelions start blooming, the greens get much more bitter. So you have this short window now of the dandelions are starting to grow, and they're not quite blooming yet. I saw a couple in bloom, but most of them aren't blooming yet. Dandelion greens are a popular green in Italy in particular, and indeed they make dandelion wine, but that's made with the flowers, not the greens. So if you're going to try the greens, for one thing, you should probably make sure you're identifying them correctly. Dandelions are fairly obvious, but maybe not to a lot of people who haven't spent time digging them out of their yards or gardens. And so be a little aware before you go foraging for anything. Last hour we were talking about ramps, and those will be available growing in the woods within a month, certainly. Dandelion greens now. Also, there's a plant called wintergreen, which is a cute little plant. It sends up little white flowers and seed heads that toss their seeds everywhere. And it's very easy to take out, but it is very invasive, too. So the advantage of taking it out now and experimenting with eating those greens, you'll have fewer of these weeds growing later this spring and summer. So wintergreen, another one to maybe look up online and see if you have any growing in your garden. The oxalis is pretty tasty. That's not quite big enough to eat yet, but that's starting to grow. Chickweed is another edible weed, not particularly flavorful. And these are people eat them for two reasons. One, well, three. One, to get revenge on weeds that are occasionally take over their garden. Also, because they're highly nutritious, they have, there's greens have a lot of great nutrients in them, purslane in particular, which will come along later. And also it's just kind of the fun of challenging yourself to identify these plants and, you know, kind of see what you can find by foraging. And people do that with mushrooms too, but mushrooms you have to be really good at identifying, because there are some toxic mushrooms that not only make you sick, but can kill you, highly toxic mushrooms. So you want to be extra careful, and maybe at this point, again, with hospitals dealing with the coronavirus, you really don't want to be going to the hospital because you've been poisoned by a mushroom. So unless you're an expert in mushrooms, I would avoid eating those. And I have to say, even like yesterday, our daughter, they made some cookies. And I'm usually the first one in line to eat the cookie batter, cookie dough, or cake batter. Even if it has eggs in it, I will generally do that. I trust the source of our eggs. But it still has a little risk of salmonella. And so yesterday, this gorgeous chocolate cookie dough, and there was a fair amount of it in the pan. It would have, at almost any other time, I would have had a blast eating that, and it would have been delicious. But for the first time in probably, I don't know, since I can remember, I don't know that I've ever turned cookie dough down. I decided to just wash the pan and not eat the scraps of cookie dough, and use the spatula to get every little bit. And I will do that for gingerbread and cornbread and cakes. And I really do love the batter and the cookie dough of almost anything. But not right now. Even if it's a small risk, sometimes we do vegan cookies or other things, and then I don't have to worry about it. But if there are eggs in it, raw eggs, I'm going to be extra careful right now. I don't want to get salmonella, even if there's just a tiny chance of it. Not going to risk it at this time. So that was tough. Again, I don't remember ever just washing a pan with that much cookie dough or cake batter in it. And I did it quickly. Like, I got to get this out of here. I really love cake batter and cookie dough. So that's maybe one tiny example of being a little extra careful right now. Also, I mentioned last week knife skills. That's even more important. More people are cooking at home, and that's a good thing. But some of those people haven't used knives very often, maybe, or are not being careful enough, maybe distracted by talking to other people. There are lots of ways this can happen, but you don't want to be going to get stitches right now for a knife cut. So be extra mindful using it. Look up some YouTube videos on knife skills. One of the key things is to use your, put the tips of your fingers down, and so the knife is, if anything, near your knuckles instead of near the tips of your fingers. And be extra careful. And, chefs regularly cut themselves. We were watching the Great British Baking Show, which is, I think, one of my favorite cooking shows on television. And they've had a bunch of seasons of it. You can go back and watch, I think, on Netflix. And, these are amateur chefs, the Great British Baking Show. usually a 12 that start out, people of all ages, but pretty serious amateurs. These are really good amateur cooks. And there was one guy, it was the first episode of, I think, the latest season, and I think he cut himself three times during the first day. He had bandages on three or four fingers on one hand. Probably nervous, probably, on edge and not being careful, not being mindful, and again, cut himself multiple times there. He was kind of joking about it, but I'm sure that it was painful, and kind of regretted that being one of the memories people have of him from the show. So at home, be extra careful with your knives and really take it as an opportunity to learn some knife skills, maybe to teach your children, your other relatives, whoever may be staying with you during this time. Do some practicing of safe knife skills, and it may help everyone in the future. And you'll have more fun cooking, maybe more confidence. And we also were talking about sharp knives. One of the things that causes some of the injuries is people aren't using knives that are sharp enough, and so they're using more force than they otherwise would. Of course, having extra sharp knives makes it easier to cut yourself too, so you got to beware. I guess maybe the ideal knife is not too sharp and not too dull, but if you have a sharpening stone, you can do some of your own knife sharpening. But I would definitely look up some YouTube videos about how to do that, because you can irreparably dull your knife doing it the wrong way. And Cook's World has knife sharpening days. They do a couple times a year where you can bring three knives and they sharpen them. And they can, all afternoon long, they're sharpening knives. But it's something everyone used to do themselves. I would guess a lot of people don't have the sharpening stones. You may have a mechanical knife sharpener. Those are also around. And I don't know how commonly people have those, but the old-fashioned sharpening stone is kind of a cool idea. I suggested to our daughter, she was going to do this with some knives, that we have one of the mesh gloves that you can use for working with knives, and this is kind of like a modern version of chainmail, so that it protects your hand, but is still fairly flexible, and these are kind of cool to use, and maybe in sharpening knives, where you have the you're holding the stone with one hand and pulling the knife through. It might be good to have that special glove on, or at least any glove is probably at least a little helpful. The chain one is the most helpful. So again, learn some knife skills, practice them, learn some knife sharpening, and all of that. You could watch probably 100 different videos, maybe 1,000 different videos on knife skills and knife sharpening. There might be 10,000 of those videos online. And let me know if you find a really especially good one. You can always email me, michael@saferlife.com. We'll take a quick break. Be back afterwards from our sponsors here on WYSL 1040.
Jumbo line, a crawfish pie, and a filet gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna see my Mashazamio. Pick it tough, fill fruit jar, and be gay.
Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here, the sponsors of For the Love of Food. Some great businesses, and, you know, these are local independent businesses, things that make our area more interesting to live in, more just very passionate people. And again, independent businesses are especially struggling with the shutdowns and limitations and restrictions that have been placed. And you know, if you can get a gift certificate, a gift card, places like Roarbox, you can get gift cards online at roarbox.com. You can pick up beer. They have that available. Of course, their beers are available in grocery stores, too. And it's delicious. We had some Scotch Ale and Space Kitty just yesterday. And fantastic local beer. I can get details at roarbox.com. And again, that gift card, gift certificate you get online, that is a way to let them know you're thinking about them and you're looking forward to going to visit them, or maybe have a friend or family member use it as a gift for them. It doesn't have to be any particular amount. Maybe you want to, you know, do a $20 gift card or a gift certificate. Maybe you want to do something more as a big show of support. They would really appreciate anything right now. It's roarbox.com. Also, brought to you by Lombardi's Gourmet. They're in Fairport and are open because they are a grocery store. And you can get many meals there in one visit. So lots of pasta, lots of sauces, and all kinds of frozen raviolis and gnocchi and lasagna. Just had their lasagna I gotten out of the freezer there a week ago, just yesterday. That was delicious. And again, you can go to one place and get many meals so that you don't have to keep going out. They have all kinds of things to cook with as well, and to set your table at Lombardi's. Oh, it's LombardisGourmet.com. They're open Monday through Saturday in Fairport, just north of the railroad tracks, Route 250, LombardisGourmet.com. And Fox Run Vineyards, Anton Road Wine Company, they are doing some posting online of interviews and things. They have curbside service for pickup of wine. They're about an hour away, just south of Geneva. And, they also are shipping wine, and that might be a way to for you to stay at home and order some wine online, foxrunvineyards.com, anthonroadwine.com. Two outstanding wineries and a wide range of wines. They've Fox Run released their dry rosé. They have excellent sparkling wine, bunch of different Rieslings, Unoak Chardonnay, gorgeous dry reds. So their Lemberger Cabernet Franc blend is fantastic. And Anthony Road has skin fermented white wines. They also have many, many other whites, delicious reds. They do a dessert wine. So you can get a sampling of different wines to have right now, and they can ship them to your door. It's foxrunvineyards.com, anthonyroadwine.com. And also brought to you by the Max of Eastman Place. I mentioned them earlier. They are no longer doing takeout, neither is Roarbox, but they encourage you to think about gift cards. A gift card to Max of Eastman Place is really good for all three restaurants. Tony Galassi, his family of restaurants, Aunt Rosie's, and also Max Chop House. So one gift card can work at all three restaurants. And again, it gives them a show of support that you're thinking about them. You're looking forward to going back, and you want them to be around for the long run. It's Max. RochesterNY.com. And by the way, some outstanding photography on the website, MaxRochesterNY.com. You'll have some fun seeing some great food photography on the website. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on For Love of Food. Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's For Love of Food on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. And again, it's whatever you can do to stay home is going to help the medical professionals. It's going to limit the spread of the coronavirus, which is we are very challenged right now in trying to limit it. And I'm afraid the number of people that don't know they have it or don't know they have it yet in terms of the symptoms, that's what's adding to the number of people that are going to end up in the hospitals. And you know, we don't have enough hospital space for the projected numbers. And we're following other countries. We can see what's coming. And we are not being careful enough. So I watched Governor Cuomo, his daily presentation I saw yesterday's, and I just seen clips of some of the others. But I thought it was impressive. I wish other states were doing as much as he is in shutting down New York State, but what he's doing, I'm afraid, is not enough either. And I think I mentioned last week, one of our listeners felt this the shutdown and the things that Governor Cuomo are doing that he's doing are a power grab by Governor Cuomo and just looking to take advantage of the situation. I hope if you think that's possibly the case, I hope you'll watch one of his presentations. You can find them, I'm sure, on YouTube. And just give him the benefit of the doubt for the next week as we watch these numbers just climb out of sight and we watch what's happening in other countries. So, as governor of the state, he is responsible for what happens here. And if he overreacts, there'll be fewer consequences for New York State. If he underreacts, we are in deep, deep trouble. So I think, unfortunately, I think he is... has maybe underreacted somewhat, and yet people fear that he's overreacted. We'll see. It will become very clear. I think he said about 3 weeks is the projected peak in our hospitals, and so we're not there yet. We are just heading in that direction, and it's already a struggle for the hospitals to deal with it. So even if you think he's overreacted, if you think the restrictions are too draconian, then give it the benefit of the doubt for another week. That's my plea. And follow them and do more than is suggested. Stay home and avoid going out. Do some additional work in the garden. Do some projects around the house. Do some cleaning out. You know, set aside an area of things you're going to take to the Goodwill when the restrictions are released. Set aside a box or two or three of tools and things you want to donate to the tool thrift store in Fairport. And once restrictions are lifted, you know, organize some of those things and maybe go through some of the hazardous chemicals that may be in your garage or basement, closet, or under the sink, things that you don't use anymore, things that are maybe from, I don't know, previous homeowner, from relatives, however one ends up accumulating some of these things. Organize those, get those ready to take to the Eco Park once that reopens. It's not open now. Probably will be a month or two before that reopens. But you can, again, get that stuff organized. Make an appointment once it does reopen for their hazardous waste pickup, and bring those pesticides, perhaps the again, things that you're not using, that at least in my case, I've been using fewer and fewer of those over the years, and so I took some that were from my parents' house that we'd accumulated, and I took some of the household hazardous waste. So not open now, but that organizing will have you ready to go when it reopens, and you'll have fewer of these potentially dangerous chemicals around. And you know, they're sometimes in metal containers, things that can rust, and so you don't want these sitting around your house, again, under your sink, wherever that kind of thing might accumulate. Do some of that organizing, but again, stay at home. It really is crucial right now. You can have some fun with some of the vegetables and fruits that you're eating, maybe. If you've had some avocados, try growing the it's like a nut inside the avocado. Try growing that. You, again, find some videos on YouTube for how to do that. Often people put toothpicks in it and kind of hold it, that holds it above the water. But you can grow it in soil, potting soil, or you can grow it outside. We eat a lot of avocados, and so those end up in the compost in the garden, and then start growing. And they're, some of those are buried probably a foot deep in the garden, because I just bury the kitchen scraps in the vegetable garden up until now, when I've now put the seeds out. And so these avocado trees will just start growing in the vegetable garden. And then, of course, they get killed in the winter, but they are kind of fun to watch them grow. You could experiment with trying to grow apple seeds, oranges, all kinds of things. They're not going to do especially well. You're not going to produce, you know, new apple trees that are going to give you apples you want to eat, and that'll be, you know, like 10 years from now before that apple seedling produces an apple. But you can still have some fun with it, and maybe do some reading at the same time, about the history of apples, maybe. And there's some great books available. You may be able to get those online versions of things like Botany for Desire. I've mentioned that before by Michael Pollan, who wrote Omnivore's Dilemma in Defense of Food. Botany of Desire is about six different, not really, sort of products, fruits, vegetables, but also the tulips and marijuana are two of the six things discussed in sort of six sections of the book. And apples are one of them, one of the most fascinating chapters of I've read in any book, I thought. And so every time I eat an apple and see the seeds fall out of it, I think of Johnny Appleseed and Michael Pollan's chapter in Botany of Desire about apples and how all of those seedlings that he grew were then distributed to farmers around the East Coast, the Midwest, and were grown out to make hard cider. So it's a time maybe of reflection and to delve into some of these things that we're eating and to learn more about the history of them, how it relates to our area, and which ones of these maybe you'd want to grow, maybe make space in the garden to add an apple tree, but probably want to get that from a local nursery. In some cases, like Bricola Nursery had apple trees last fall that had apples on them. You could buy an apple tree and basically get like 10 free apples that came with it. So you want to look for resistant varieties, ideally, and these might be apples that you don't recognize the varieties. They're not the Macintosh or Empire or Granny Smith, but varieties that are more resistant, easier to grow in your backyard. Again, if we're going to stay home, and we should, these would be some fun areas to research and learn more about. And if you discover some cool things, email me, michael@saverlife.com. You can also reach us here, 585-346-3000. And 585-346-3000. Well, we'll take a quick break. Be back afterwards from our sponsors on WISL 1040. Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here, the sponsors of For the Love of Food. And many of them are shut down, limited hours, and gift cards, a great way to show your support. Places like Dr. Constantine Frank are shipping wine and have some great bargains on shipping. So you can enjoy some tremendous local wines and do that right from your home. So drfrankwines.com. Get some of the unusual ones like Saporavi and Arcazzatelli. They also have many different sparkling wines. And maybe it's, you know, six bottles for yourself. Maybe ship six bottles to family or friends that are elsewhere that could use, more than a phone call and kind of send them a hug with some wine from our local area. And Dr. Frank has really an amazing history. And might want to include a copy of the biography of Dr. Frank. I think it's maybe $30, and it's a riveting account of his time in Ukraine and coming to the United States and starting the winery here. It's drfrankwines.com for more information. Ristorante Lucano is got gift cards available. Go to ristorantelucano.com. They have been doing takeout. Again, it is one of those fabulous local restaurants. It's been around for 19 years. They've never experienced something like this, as none of us have. And so it's important to maybe send them an email. Give them a call and just tell them you're thinking about them. Get a gift card. But you know, it's important during these times to let your friends know you're thinking about them, but also some of the businesses that you really love. And you can do that in a variety of ways. It doesn't necessarily have to be a gift card. It could just be an email to let them know that you're looking forward to going back. It's ristorantelucano.com to get more details. And ristorantelucano.com. Also, Knapp Winery and Vineyard Restaurant. The restaurant is seasonal, not open now just because of the seasonality as well. But the winery does shipping, and Knapp Winery has, it's knappwine.com. Many wines for you to choose from. Got a Cabernet Franc from them we're going to open tonight. Gorgeous dry red. Lots of white wines, dessert wines, as well as fortified wines. It's knappwine.com, west side of Cayuga Lake, and one of the many fabulous wineries here in our region, and a great place to, again, remind them that you're thinking about them and get some wines for yourself or maybe for a friend. Also brought to you by Newbury Park Pastries, and Kate Schlenker is open today, 11 to 5, in her retail space, Mushroom Boulevard, and that is just off of Clay Road, a Genesee Regional Market, and kind of behind the Home Depot and Christmas Tree Shop there. It's kind of on the end of Mushroom Boulevard, and this afternoon she's going to have Kurt Foreman also there. He's got eggs and dry beans and Angus beef. He sells at the Brighton Farmers Market usually, and is teaming up with Kate. So he'll be there, I think, from 1 to 5 today on Mushroom Boulevard at her space. And she's open from usually 11 to 5 on Saturdays. And we'll be bringing some other vendors from the Brighton Market, I think, tomorrow. 1 to 4, kind of the regular Brighton Farmers Market hours, but the Brighton Market is closed for now. And so I think last week she had three or four other vendors there, including Pasta Classics and Flower City Pasta and Wolfslagels also, maple syrup. So that's Newbury Park Pastries. .com. Follow Kate Schlenker on Facebook. She's very active on Facebook, so you can send her messages there, and she posts some of the things that she has. Call her in advance if there's things that you want. She's been selling a lot of pot pies, been making more than ever as people put three or four in their freezer to have them on hand. It's NewburyParkPastries.com. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on For Love of Food. Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here. It is For Love of Food on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. The public market is open and is considered a grocery store. It has the advantage of being an open-air market and also a place where you can get things from local farmers. But be careful and really do as little as few visits as possible when you're out doing errands that you have to do, and consider trying to exist on the food that you have at home in the freezer, refrigerator, dried goods in the pantry. We really need to stay home as much as possible until the testing becomes more common and hospitals don't face the at this point almost certainty of being overwhelmed as it is. We need to limit that. So for the next couple of weeks, try to stay home as much as possible. Email me if you have comments, questions, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back after the top of the hour with Discover the Finger Lakes here on WYSL 1040.